man, March Madness going on. A baseball game going to be played that counts in about 17 hours from now. And yet, the Seahawks, boy, they never stopped making news. I mean, it was a busy day for the Seahawks. I mean, two potential signings. Malik McDowell was in the news. Greg Bell's writing stories about middle fingers. I mean, there was all sorts of stuff going on. Quarterback who's pretty much stated on the record, yep, I want to make as much money as humanly possible. So we got a lot to talk about with our Seahawks insider, Greg Bell, brought to you by the Michaels Automotive Group. Good morning, Greg.
Hi, guys. We're going to talk about Jimmy Kimmel now?
Well, Jimmy
Fallon. Or whatever he was on. I can't remember.
Even worse, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon, whatever he was on. Yeah, is that a surprise to anyone?
No, I
want to make the most money in the NFL because I'm a Super Bowl winning quarterback at 30 years old. Yeah, okay, what else?
Yeah, well, I think that there are people out there that were still holding out hope that wonderful, big-hearted Russell would take less and that he would be a Seahawk, and that was the most important thing to him.
He's going to be a Seahawk. He's just going to be the richest player in the NFL wearing a Seahawks uniform. We've talked about this. None of this is a surprise. And hey, this is what he's earned. This is what free agency is all about. And this is what, if you've had the accomplishments that Russell Wilson has had in their first eight NFL seasons, you're reaping that at quarterback position. And this is what they pay quarterbacks. So, again, none of this is a surprise. He could stand in the middle of Pioneer Square and yell this every day until this contract's up, and it still wouldn't be a surprise to the Seahawks.
Greg Bell is with us, our Seahawks insider, brought to you by the Michaels Automotive Group. Have you filled out a bracket yet, Greg?
Have not. Oh, we have a little family internal competition that we need to do. Does it count? Do you have to do it before these play-in games, or do you can still get away with waiting until Thursday?
I don't think anybody counts the play-in games anywhere, like in any bracket anywhere. So, yeah, you can wait.
Okay, yeah. Then I'll do that.
Yeah,
I was fearing a little bit the Huskies might be in that playoff game after Saturday night, but they avoided that.
Well, maybe they would have had they not won the first two games of that
tournament. That's true.
All right, so some other things in the news, though, with the Seahawks. Jordy Nelson kicking the tires on the veteran wide receiver. How interested are the Seahawks in this guy?
I think they're pretty interested. Remember, their general manager, John Snyder, was the director of football ops for the Packers in 2008 when the Packers drafted Nelson in the second round. He played two seasons in Green Bay while Snyder was in their front office before he became a Seahawks GM. The Seahawks were interested last year at this time in Nelson before the Raiders gave him a better deal enough that he signed with Oakland. He's 33 years old, which is why he's available here in the second week of free agency. But he's 6'3", 217 pounds, and we know, if you've watched the Seahawks in the last couple of years, that they have little tiny receivers that are Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett types, yet there's been pretty much a rotating door of big wide receivers they've tried. They signed Brandon Marshall. They had David Moore with, four touchdowns in about three and a half quarters there in October, and then he had only one touchdown in the last 9-10 games or so. So they're still looking for someone dependable to keep defenses off of Lockett and Baldwin, and that someone needs to be bigger than Baldwin and Lockett. That's really what it comes down to, somebody that's a mismatch and a matchup nightmare for defenses that they really don't have size-wise, which is why Nelson would be intriguing.
Boy, yeah, the idea of Jordy Nelson, because you keep remembering all of those plays he made with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but what's he have left? What's left in the
team? Well, that's the question, which is why he's available and why he would come relatively cheaply. He 97 catches and 14 touchdowns 3 years ago, 2016, and that's 3 years ago. So when you eclipse 30 years old and you haven't had the production, then you're available in the second waves of free agency. And he had 63 catches last year with a very bad Oakland team. I know Derek Carr is a good quarterback and Gruden was there, but 63 catches for what was a really awful team says that he's got something left, and he wouldn't be asked to be a featured number one receiver. He would be someone that would be complementary to Baldwin and Lockett, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go way, way down the road, if not somewhere with this, and if not him, someone else like him in stature, perhaps younger. We're at the stage of free agency where the Seahawks usually make their moves, which would be short-term, low-risk, easy-to-cut contracts.
The other one I saw was Aaron Lynch yesterday, right, the former right. defensive end for the 49ers. Is he a fit?
Well, anyone who can rush the pass is a fit for Pete Carroll and pretty much any team in the NFL these days. What makes him attractive is he's still young. He's only had 5 years in the league, 26, 27 years old, 18 sacks in 5 years, which won't blow your doors off, which is also why he's available and would come relatively cheaply. He had 3 sacks with Chicago last year. That was his only season with them, and 4 years with the 49ers before that. He had 15 sacks. So, of course, they're going to look at him and many others. And the draft's going to be deep in defensive linemen and rush ends as well. And I don't think they're going to be done into the summer looking for and possibly signing Deion Jordan-type veteran free agents that have been cast off for one reason or another.
Gee, I think I just shocked Chuck there for a sec. I just flipped him off, but that wasn't actually to tell him F off. It was because I wanted to ask you.
Well, it's a big room, so who knows what it was directed
at? Yeah, well, he knows exactly. It was directed at him, or it was pointed at him.
It could have been directed at anybody, really.
Anybody, yeah. So I heard that not such a mystery was solved yesterday.
It was. He told Peter King in Peter King's weekly Football Morning in America column, Earl Thomas did, that he was very frustrated at that particular moment. Frustrating was the word that he used. And he said, I did what I did, and I saw Pete Carroll and said, yeah, you won. You won. And he wins, meaning the team won, that Carroll and the Seahawks playing hard line and not giving him a new deal. Ultimately, they won by not paying him, and then he left without a new contract. One, because he got the injury September 30th in Arizona, Thomas did, that he was fearing and wanting the money before he got hurt. Then he goes and gets the injury that he was fearing without the money. So, I wrote that it wasn't a surprise because everyone knew who he was directing the finger to across the field. Well, on the back of that cart, after the game, it still humors me that Carroll said it's a big stadium. Who knows what that was directed to, but it was pretty obvious. So it wasn't. It at the time seemed like the last act Thomas would do for the Seahawks, and in fact it was. He wasn't even around the facility the rest of the year.
You know, Hugh Millen's been in locker rooms in the NFL. Bucky Jacobson's been in locker rooms, Major League Baseball. You know, I've had these discussions so many times about locker rooms and team cohesion. And I remember us all discussing it, all four of us, to great length that particular week as to do the Seahawks and Pete Carroll's control over the locker room, does it sit on the edge of a knife right here after being flipped off by Earl Thomas as his swan song as a Seahawk seemingly? How close were they perhaps to unraveling at the seams at that moment?
Well, I think what helped the Seahawks' case is that the players knew by then that Earl Thomas was gone, that he had already burned so many bridges with the holdout and the acrimony and trade me and go to Jason Garrett and say, come get me when Seattle kicks me the curb. All of that contributed to this guy's gone. There's no way. I mean, he doesn't care. There's obviously he's not interested in engendering goodwill with the franchise, the coach, the general manager. So I think the veterans knew that Thomas was on his island, on his own, and he was gone. And so when he did that, the finger was just the final stamp that, yeah, he's gone. And so it wasn't as if they needed to circle wagons or keep everyone together or – Thomas was already isolated on his own, doing his own business, taking care of himself. Hey, and that was the rhetoric that Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright and the veteran core players and that even Russell Wilson said, hey, this is business. He's got to take care of his family. He does what he needs to do. If he needs to stay away and be in a holdout, and if he needs to do, that's him. And so I think that mitigated the fallout from the finger because he was already isolated in my mind, and I think in the Seahawks' mind. Thomas was isolated to himself in that locker room anyway. We've talked about this. Mm-hmm. He's not a rah-rah leader. Hey, guys, come rally around me and let's sit at our locker and have fireside chats. And that was Richard Sherman, and that was Cam Chancellor, even Michael Bennett to some extent to the younger defensive lineman. That was not Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas sat facing into his locker with his Bose headphones on and looking at his phone and taping and going through a pre-practice ritual and then screaming at guys for chewing on sunflower seeds during walkthrough practices. And that was him. And that all contributed to, I think, his little tempest in a teapot that never, ever really spread into the locker room.
It actually seemed to galvanize them. That's what was weird about it. You know, we were talking about it, whether or not Pete's going to lose the locker room, and they seemed to – that's when they started to hit their stride and turn into a playoff team, was afterward.
Yeah, I'm not sure, again, because I think he was so isolated in his own turmoil that with the team that I don't – that might have been coincidental more than anything or a product of the schedule. I really don't think there was much effect at all, which is odd considering how big of a deal he made that.
All right, last thing I wanted to bring up with you today, I read a story that Malik McDowell has been contacted by the Dallas Cowboys. I got like 20 questions. I think I'll just leave it open and vague to you, so I'll allow you to react to that story.
Well, I hope for his sake, as a young man trying to forge a career, that he has the ability to play, and if it's the Cowboys or Tampa Bay or whoever, it gives him a chance, great. It would be a surprise and would fly in the face of everything the Seahawks think medically if that happens. And they were beyond convinced that the man should never play football again, and they really didn't want it on their books and their responsibility that they let him play again. And that's why he wasn't playing. And the reason, part of the reason it's been so secretive and the family has insisted nothing get out and HIPAA laws was because they were, the family was trying to protect his ability to somehow play again if the team would allow him. I don't know enough about the extent of the injuries to know whether this is a good idea or not. I do know the Seahawks don't think it's a good idea. And, again, for him, I hope at his still young age, if he's trying to pursue an NFL career, I hope it works out for him. It would be, again, counter to what the Seahawks have learned and everyone has apparently told them medically.
All right. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it. Enjoy the tournament with the family. And don't take it easy on them. I'm serious. You bury them if you get the chance.
Usually my daughter's the easiest mark because she just picks the mascot she likes. But then last year, because of the dogs in Maryland, Baltimore County, that didn't work either.
Serves her right, Greg. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Greg Bell, our Seahawks insider from the News Tribune, joining us here on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings. It's brought to you by the Michaels Automotive Group, a family-owned and operated dealership placing customer satisfaction as its highest priority. They feature three of America's most popular automotive brands, Toyota, Volkswagen, and Subaru, all located at the same location just off I-90 in Eastgate. Coming up next, in case you missed it, we had a great conversation yesterday at 9 o'clock with the head coach of the Washington Huskies men's basketball team, which has, of course, earned its berth into the NCAA tournament. We're going to replay for you that interview with Mike Hopkins right here on
It's Products Not Available in Every State.
What's up? It's Bucky here. For those of you out there desiring to lose some weight, you know what you need to do. Make a call to 3010, Weight Loss for Life. They'll show you how to lose weight, and you'll learn lifelong nutrition the entire time. Thanks to 3010, I've lost 60 pounds, and it's staying off. My life is tons better. I feel way better chasing my little boy around. I got way more energy. It doesn't hurt my knee so much packing around that extra weight. Thousands of lives have been restored, and hundreds of thousands of pounds have vanished through 3010. What will you do with your healthier life? Shape your future right now by calling 3010. Call 855-843-3010. It's not a diet. It's your plan for a healthy life. With 3010, you won't be hungry. You'll see weekly changes, receive one-on-one coaching. With their meal planning and recipes, you'll learn how to fuel your body in delicious ways, burning fat and keeping weight off for life. It's simple and it's easy. Most of all, it works. It starts with a call to 3010. So call now at 855-843-3010. That's 855-843-3010 and online at 3010weightlossforlife.com.
Where their name says it all.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on Seattle's original diehard sports station.
Throws up a three-pointer. It's good!
And your home for Westwood One's March Madness and the Final Four.
Got another one.
Sports Radio 950.
Two-handed pound down!
KJR.
Bucky Jacobson here in the Carter Volkswagen Studios. It's NCAA Tournament Week. Maybe you filled your bracket out. Maybe you couldn't sleep last night. You tossed and turned because you can't decide between Nevada and Florida.
It's a toss-up, for sure.
I don't know. Maybe you got into the office today and maybe you're behind. Maybe you normally fill out 100 brackets and you're only at 4.
Oh, that's...
Have you ever seen a gator eat a wolf pack? Yes, please.
Please. You've only filled out 4 brackets to this point. You're sleeping on the job. Please. Or maybe you're that person that we respect and admire. And you're the guy that fills out 1 bracket.
1.
And that is your... what's his name used to call it? The sheet of integrity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe that's your sheet of integrity.
It is.
A really mature way to go about it.
That's
it's how you should do it. It's how everybody should do it.
Commit to something, please.
I'm committed. Signed. In ink.
Figure college basketball teams. Figure out who advances. And then just live with it, please.
Does signing it actually do something?
Well, it just makes it official.
Oh. Didn't know there was a spot you had to autograph your...
Yeah.
Make it official.
Make it.
You can't sign the old computer. but if you want to go to sportsradiokjr.com, you can surely fill out a bracket. It's presented by Twin Peaks, Venue Kings, Redbox, and Goldberg Jones. Get it done. Prizes to be won. And if you have a perfect bracket, which happens all the time, you can win a pair of tickets to any sporting event in the world.
All the time.
Including the International Plate Spinning Finals, which will be held this year in Oslo.
Really?
Wow, I didn't know that. Yep. That's a sport now.
I didn't know it was a Norwegian thing.
Good luck finding a Husky bar there, though.
Yeah.
To watch the game. They don't have a lot there. those Norwegians.
Yeah. Hey. Easy.
Well, anyway, the Huskies will play Friday at 3:50. They're going to take on Utah State, who's actually the favored team, and not just in the seedings. Vegas has Utah State slightly favored against Washington. In that game on Friday. But for dog fans everywhere, who cares? It's just good to be in. It's that returning back to where you feel you belong. It has been way too long for Washington Huskies basketball without an NCAA tournament appearance, and it's been way too long since it's been a regular occurrence for this program, which I think it might start being under the direction of Mike Hopkins. Yesterday, we had a chance to chat with Coach Hop about his team getting into the NCAA tournament. And in case you missed it, we wanted to replay the whole thing for you. I asked Coach Hopkins, how big is this for you and your guys, particularly those seniors?
It's been an incredible run for these guys. And, 2 years ago, sitting in that room and trying to get them to believe in what we were trying to do and giving them the plan to execute it and to hopefully get a chance to play in the tournament and to revitalize the program. And the seniors have done everything we've asked. They've set the tone, they've listened, they've worked, they bought in, and to have their name called was really, really exciting. And I was just so happy for them.
Was there any doubt at all when you gathered the team together on those couches at your house yesterday that it wasn't going to end in a happy ending?
Well, you know what? I'm a big, ego back, and I try to stay away from reading things. And my wife will always say, bracketology has you at, this guy has you at this. And I'm like, I said, darling, don't read that. Nobody knows. It's a new net system. But, I do, Joey Brackets, he's as good as it gets. And they had, everybody kind of had us an 8 or a 9, and the lowest is a 10. So I felt getting to the finals, I felt like we were in good shape. It just was a matter of what seed they were going to give us. But to be honest with you, after the first 2 brackets, you start to get the uncertainty. Have I been up on current events? Has there been a tsunami or an earthquake? Something happened. But and then they go to commercial break, and then you start going through your mind like, oh my God, is it Syracuse? Are they going to put us against Syracuse? And then just to hear your name called, it was like this sigh of relief, and everybody explodes. So cool, so proud, so happy.
Coach Mike Hopkins is with us. The Huskies are in a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament. All right, so you described it all the way up to that moment. What is the wave of emotions following it? Because I'm sure there's like celebration and then When do you start thinking about Utah State? Like 5 seconds after, 10 seconds? When does that happen?
Well, you know, it's interesting as you go through it. And obviously everybody was disappointed in how we played in the finals. And, you know, so it's, you know, you got back at 4 a.m, you're getting back in your room, and next thing you know, you're turning around and you're still kind of have that, the hangover of the loss. And then just started bringing back that energy, and you start being grateful for the opportunity and the journey and what we've really accomplished. And, you know, you go through that, and so that it goes back, you explode, right? And then it's like the whole coaching staff. You know, Dave Rice had coached at Utah State, very familiar with it. Cam Dollar has just watched 4 or 5 games. Will Conroy. So it's like, okay, get our media people on it, from stats to videos to synergy to all that stuff. And, you know, the staff's been up all night watching this film, getting ready for the, you know, for today in practice.
What are your scouts and your coaches telling you about that big guy in the middle and how he disrupts things?
He's probably, you know, the thing about Utah State, just like us and West Coast basketball, a lot of teams, a lot of East Coast people in the nation don't see how good the basketball is out here and certain players. And, you know, they've got a great team. Sam Merrill, the big guy in the middle, is one of the best shot blockers. And, you know, he's a guy they're talking about being one and done, but Sam Merrill's arguably one of the best, you know, combo guards in the country that nobody knows about. You know, averages over 20 points, you know, takes, you know, 28%, almost 30% of their shots, very well coached. It's going to be a great challenge for us. So excited.
Mike Hopkins is with us, head coach of the Washington Huskies. They are in the tournament, a 9 seed facing Utah State Friday at 3:50. So you dive in with the film study, but obviously a lot of Husky fans are focused on how well are we playing right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to
yeah.
ask you a general question and hope to get specific answers out of you. What's wrong with the offense right now, Coach?
Well, I think a lot of our offense, the problems was due to Oregon's defense. And, you know, the first game in the tournament versus USC, we made 13 threes. Colorado, you know, we play good for the most part. It's, you know, sometimes you just have those games. The ball stops moving. And the one thing that we were doing, I know it sounds so simple, but when we were making our run early in the Pac-12 when we were undefeated, we were making shots. And I hate to say it, it's that simple, but it's that simple. When you get, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 wide open looks and you miss them, it changes the game. I think the thing with me, a little disappointed in the second half of the Oregon game, was even though we were missing shots, our defense wasn't great. And the one thing that we've been able to do throughout the year is make sure that our defense can keep us in the game. That's where it got away from us. Mm-hmm. In the championship game.
Yeah. What would it have been like? I mean, you've done such a tremendous job in such a short time with this program, and I'm not just here buttering you up. Almost every dog fan out there.
Keep buttering.
Yeah, feels the exact same way about you, Coach. But, I mean, just the idea of taking over under kind of strange circumstances to take over a program because a beloved figure, but kind of at head coach, but sort of a shipwrecked program. At that point, so you had to pick up some pieces, and you didn't have an empty cupboard, but you had to get people to buy into your system, and you had to get these young players to believe in Mike Hopkins basketball. So, just talk about the journey to this point and how incomplete it would have been had you not gotten these seniors to the tournament.
Well, I think the biggest thing is with the seniors. You know, some of the guys. You know, I remember talking to them, you know, they were in the process of even thinking of leaving the year before, you know. And so, you know, getting them back and, you know, Coach Womar was telling these guys they thought they should stay. And I'll always appreciate that. You know, I had known Coach for a long time and, getting the validation because they, you know, I had a month to get them to believe and say, I do. That's a hard thing to do. And got lucky with a great staff and talked to these guys. And David Crisp was the first one to say, Coach, I'm staying. And then Dom Green. And we had a little recruiting. But, you know, the process, again, then the belief. And then, like I said, give them the plan. And then going out there and, you know, just working hard. And then, obviously, believing that, you know, you're playing for something greater than yourself. It's not about you. It's about us. It's about the University of Washington. It's about our alumni. It's about our fan base. And that's what was so exciting. And you never know. Someone asked me, did you know it would come this soon? I'd like, you never think of that. All you're thinking of, how do I coach them every day? You know, how do we coach them and get them better every day? That's kind of been our model, and it's worked.
That's awesome, Coach. Hey, Coach, you know, the season, you guys kind of ran away with the Pac-12 there. I mean, fairly early. David Crisp, after when you're going into the tournament, ended up saying, yeah, we kind of maybe got a little complacent, and now it's, you know, it's tournament time, and it's time to get going. How do you what's the reset? How are you? What are you saying to these guys to get them ready and get them fired up for this tournament and kind of making a run, regardless of how the end of the season was headed?
Well, I think, you know, even at the end of the season, I mean, we had some close games. Everybody, like, the sky is falling. You know, for the most part, you look at, you know, the consistency over time. And these guys, you know, you play you have four seasons. You have the preseason. And we play one of the toughest 15th-ranked non-conference schedule. We try to challenge ourselves. In a perfect world, we would have been 10-3, okay? We're 9-4. We go into conference. We know that is going to help us playing the best teams in our conference. We go down there, and we win it by three games 2 weeks before the end of the season. And then you go and you say, okay, well, now we've got the third part of the season, which is the Pac-12 tournament. And, you know, we get to the finals, and we don't play our best game. And, you get the reward of the NCAA tournament. So it's really just, you know, to be successful in a tournament, it's just you got to do what you keep, you know, what we've been doing. We'll get more shots. We got to get rest. It's great that we play on Friday to give it that extra day. You get the excitement of the tournament. But nothing changes. You know, it's like going on the road. They're just going to be screaming louder, and they're going to be screaming at you, but nothing changes. What happens on that court is up to us. You know, defensively, focus, sharing the ball, and most importantly, like I said this week, a lot of shots, a lot of foul shots. Yeah. And if you make them, we're a different team.
Yeah, no doubt. And by the way, you're going to have to deal with the distraction of going to Columbus. I mean, it is the Paris of the Midwest. I mean, there's so much to do there. How are you going to keep the guys on point, Coach?
Well, all I can tell you is, you know, we're going to do what we do. You know, just to be a part of the party. We got invited to the party. And letting these guys understand that we, you know, being part of the party is great, but we're going to win. And, you know, this is the first step of building this program, is changing the mindset and the standard of what we expect every year. And we told the young guys yesterday, it's going to be sad for the seniors to have this experience, but it's great for the building of the program, for the young guys to feel what it's like to be in this tournament, because it is the greatest feeling of all time being a part of it.
All right. Now, you have been to a lot of tournaments, but this is your first as a head coach. How long have you been practicing your Newt Rockne speech for your first tournament?
All I know is I've been practicing da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. It's the greatest. It's the greatest.
There you go.
Yes. And just enjoying it. And you know what? Listen, it's the speeches, all that stuff is all a talk. We've got to produce with action. And, you know, and the bottom line is we know when our defense is rolling and they're locked in and focused and we've got great legs and we're energized, it's one of the best defenses in the country. And we've got one of the best defensive players in the country. And, you know, I think offensively it's as simple as we share the ball. We got to get the big fellow going, Noah Dickerson. He's a huge part of what we do. He could get the big guy on their team in foul trouble, which would be huge. And, got to make some shots, and I know we have shot makers, and we've done it. We just have to be a little bit more consistent.
All right. Well, a little more butter for you before we let you go. Great job. I mean, it's been really exciting, and, you know, I think that this team, and I've said this before without you being on the phone, I think this is what college basketball should be, your team. A group of seniors that came together and stuck together and put on an entertaining brand of basketball and accomplished things doing it. So I think you've been an inspiration, and we're excited about watching you guys in the tournament.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. And one thing to all the fans out there, the people that have supported us, that's what matters. And seeing the sellouts and the people supporting us and getting it going, that's what makes great college basketball programs. So thank you, everybody out there, and thank you for having me on this morning.
Mike Hopkins, in case you missed it yesterday at 9 o'clock, we wanted to replay that for you. Didn't realize I did a little butt kissing there at the end, didn't I?
He asked for more butter.
Yeah.
And you obliged.
Yeah.
It was a good interview.
Really?
So you deserved some butter there, I think.
Really spread it on there. Spread it on thick.
Don't beat up on yourself, Jeff. Yeah. It's okay.
I will just say this, and we... about this before we move on from coach here and go to break, and that is just that I'm serious. I mean, the job that he has done in a 2 years' time, I think that maybe you need to be reminded of what he was up against when he came here. And that was, I don't know of anybody. I certainly can't just off the top of my head. I'm sure that it's happened. But somebody that goes into a job, his first head coaching job, even though he has a long reputation, had a really good reputation for a long time of being somebody that was going to fill. I mean, he wasn't going to be somebody. He didn't wait all that time at Syracuse being Boeheim's right-hand man, you know, to take a job at Siena. I mean, he was going to wait right. for a good program and the right opportunity, and that's the approach that he took, and everybody expected him to get that opportunity. If it wasn't going to be at Syracuse, it was going to be somewhere else. But to jump into this program, I don't know if anybody has started with, you're going to lose the best recruiting class in the history of your school. I mean, that's how you're going to start.
Mm.
So just so you know, Coach Hop, that's how your tenure with Washington's going to begin, because the guys that are committed to Romar are committed to Romar, mm-hmm. not to Washington. So they're all going to go. So you can go ahead and start your time by flushing down the toilet the best recruiting class in Washington history. And then the second thing you have to do is pick up the pieces with those who are already there, who are angry that their head coach and friend is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they weren't winning, he was so lovable and so likable that they didn't want to see him go. So then he had to go door to door and convince all of these players that off of a, by the way, a terrible season. So mm-hmm. he's sitting there going, I need to keep you guys, even though you stunk last year.
Yeah. That all sounds really fun.
Yeah, and then I got to do a sales job on myself to you that we can be better and we can win while you're still in that uniform. We can win. We can make it to the tournament. And so he did that sales job, and he didn't keep them all. And then all of a sudden you make strides in that first year. You win Coach of the Year honors. So I'm glad that the writers recognized, you know, what he was up against and the good job that he did. And then the very following year, you pull off what I'm sure you promised those kids to keep them to stay, and that was, we'll make the tournament. You do this. You come back. You put some faith in me, and I'm going to get you. You're going to have a tournament appearance before you're done. And they did it. They pulled it off. We got breaking news.
Breaking news from the world of baseball.
What do we got back there, Slick?
Breaking star center fielder Mike Trout and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are finalizing a record-breaking 12-year contract worth more than $430 million.
What?
Dr. Evil.
$430 million.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
That is $100 million more than Harper signed for.
Wear that, Harp.
Mental
and
math.
He is that much better.
He's at least that much better, I think.
Yeah. He might have cost himself. I mean, he hits the free agent market a year, or what, 2 years from now?
Mm-hmm. After 2020, yeah.
It'll be $500 million.
Wow.
I don't know. I think Trout's just like, you know what? For all of you Philly fans that are trying to recruit me, I kind of got it pretty good here. I live in Anaheim, California, which I'm a big fish in a big pond that is a quiet pond.
Very though. Quiet.
Yeah.
Glass.
This is California. They don't even really care.
Right.
They're going to the beach.
Yep.
You know, maybe they'll go to the ball game afterwards.
Yes.
I am absolutely beloved. I haven't been booed in my entire career.
No.
And you want me to come to Philadelphia and perhaps not only get booed by the harshest fans in the world, but the people that I grew up with? Why would I want to let them down potentially? I strike out in a playoff game, and all of a sudden, people that love me back home hate me now, and now the people that love me in Anaheim hate me for leaving and are laughing at me.
That's pretty smart.
I got it really good. Not coming really to Philadelphia. Why the hell would I do that?
I agree. Well, 430 million other reasons why he wouldn't do it, too. Holy.
I'm going to keep my Eagle season tickets, and I'm going to chase storms in the offseason.
Yeah, he is a storm chaser.
And I'm going to keep on being the best baseball player in the galaxy. How about that?
Yeah.
Boy. It's going to work.
Sign me up.
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good life.
Can't wait to see what his storm chasing vehicle is going to look like now.
Oh boy, it's going to be spectacular.
Not that it was probably a crappy one when he was right now playing on his $140 million contract or whatever it was, but
it's not going to be Bertha from Twister.
No.
It won't be Big Bertha.
No. This thing will connect to Earth.
Right.
No matter what.
Right. It won't be Bill Paxton.
Mm.
No. He'll be fine.
If he wants to hang out inside of a Twister, it won't be with a leather belt tied to
cow.
I know.
Cow, yes.
Another cow. I think that was the same one.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to do it in style.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that'll be in the contract. Stop chasing Twisters. You're worth $430 million. Cut it out.
It's a Twister.
That's the one thing they haven't finalized yet.
All right, coming up next, speaking of baseball, we are about 17 and a half hours away from the season starting, and we're about 5 minutes away from Angie Mentink finally putting her Husky bracket knowledge on the line. Sports Radio 950.
Hey, Chuck and Buck. Angie Mentink here with Root Sports, and every year I fill out a bracket. It's one of those things you just do to yourself. This year I said I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to punish myself. I'm not going to torture myself. But no, Slick Hawk needs the final four from me, and so I've got to fill one out. So the punishment continues. Here is who I have in my final four. I've got Duke and Gonzaga, Virginia and North Carolina. And before you at me with those are all number one seeds and all the number one seeds don't make it, I know that. Okay, I've got some upsets. I've got Oregon making it to the Sweet 16. But the reality is the ACC is just really good, and I'm a little bit of a homer for Gonzaga. So that is what I've got. I like Oregon, though. They're playing good basketball right now. They've got a great coach. I like Peyton Pritchard, their point guard. He's fantastic. Won 4 state high school championships. I dig him. So unfortunately for my Huskies, and I do love them, they're going to get bounced in the first round against Utah State, and I sure do hope I'm wrong. In fact, I would encourage me being wrong. So in my championship game, I've got North Carolina over Duke. I think they get their revenge from the ACC championship game. All right. See ya. Back to my vacation.
What do you mean vacation? You've had like months of vacation.
She's on an island somewhere.
This is her final vacation.
There was a baseball game being played at 17 hours.
Well, it wasn't yesterday when we recorded it. Soak up every second you can get, man. Good for you, Angie. I support it.
Don't see me vacationing right now, do you, Bucky? You know what I'm doing? I'm going to go home today, and I'm going to study OPS.
You are?
I'm going to go, and I'm going to memorize everybody's FIP.
Oh, geez.
That's and what I'm going to do today.
Is that fielding something? Something?
For innings pitch or something? I don't know.
Pitching. Oh, and fielding independent pitching.
That's what I'm going to do today. She's out on some beach. I mean, who's looking like an idiot right now?
Well,
Angie, right? Right? Angie's looking like a fool with a cocktail in her hand.
I don't think she is.
I think maybe she's doing
she's
it right.
She's really happy.
Getting Tell ready for what. The baseball season, and she's out there enjoying, sleeping in.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Sand between her toes.
I'm going to research this. I'm going to do this just for you, Chuck. I'm going to go on vacation tomorrow, and we're going to see who's really living the best life right now. Because I'm working today, not on vacation. Tomorrow, on vacation.
Yeah, Bucky and I can't wait to laugh at you tomorrow.
Yeah.
While I'm sitting there getting paper cuts from all of the stats I'm writing down to prepare myself for the start of the Mariners season.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun.
Last laughs on you, Mentink.
Yeah. I'm going to be up at 2 in the morning tomorrow.
Watching baseball.
Right. Yeah. Fools. Right, yeah. Bucky?
Idiots.
We'll be having fun. They'll be off drinking and
partying,
carousing.
Zero responsibilities.
Right. Mm. Stupid.
Yeah. I'm going to have my first beer at 9 o'clock.
Idiots. We're the winners.
How about Mentink saying, you know, this is Angie Mentink, All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Husky.
Yep.
Saying Huskies are out in round one.
Yikes.
Boy, that is a journalist that I can buy.
And
that's saying, like Walter Cronkite. That is somebody that is going to give you the straight poop.
And saying the Ducks are going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, what are you doing, man?
And she has some love for the Zags.
I think all of those...
Are we in an alternate universe?
Those banana daiquiris have gone to your head.
I'm going to simmer down on that vacation talk there.
Put down the peace pipe. Put down the gun.
Yeah, is she vacationing in the Bahamas?
I thought it was really good
that wacky
sound advice on filling out a bracket, actually.
And then she got North. And then she takes all chalk.
Yeah. It's that kind of year, I'm telling you. It is not going to be a wild Elite Eight.
Really?
Syracuse
is going to knock out Duke. In.
I don't think so either. By the way, I'm getting around to filling mine out today. It should be done by the end of the day. Yeah. So far, I do have Duke advancing past the winner of North Carolina Central and North Dakota State.
How'd you land on that one already?
Yeah. Need a little more information on the other picks.
I have hours trying to figure out that matchup.
I've only figured out one other game besides the three number one games that I told you guys yesterday, and it's the other number one. North Carolina's going to advance past.
Okay. How did you do our bracket challenge green jacket if you haven't even filled out a bracket?
All right,
I told you mine's based on math, bud, not
I'm gonna fill
favoritism.
It out. I'm going to go with you on that. North Carolina it is. I got two. I got two filled out right now.
Gosh, we're good.
God. Okay. Coming up next, the eight biggest stories of the day. We will cover it in 8 minutes at 8 o'clock. Tis why we call it
Ed El Gaucho.
Hi, I run a small accounting firm, so I know numbers. That's why I love our Ooma Office phone service. I get a large number of features while reducing my phone bill, like Ooma Office's virtual receptionist and mobile app. Now, my office is virtually anywhere, so I never miss a call. Plus, there are zero contracts. Nothing's better than that. Ooma Office phone service. It's built for small business.
Call 1-833-BY-UMA. If you call now, Ooma Office is just $19.95 per user per month. That's 1-833-BUYOOMA or visit UMA.com.